I don't know whether I'm just paying closer attention or whether there's actually been a change here on campus recently. In recent months, it has appeared to me that the dartboards in the student commons are getting far more use than in the past. Now, I don't know whether it's simply a love for the game, or perhaps the desire of some of the fourth-year students to sharpen their skills in anticipation of the ceremonial dart toss on call day. But as we listened to the account of our first reading concerning the selection of St. Matthias to fill the place of Judas, you can't help but wonder how those early Christians reacted to the method of selection for the one to replace Judas. Really, there shouldn't be a reason we couldn't use such a similar method in our own call process in our day. It would make Professor Pulse's job much easier and talk about taking pressure off the district presidents. But alas, such a major change is not in the cards at this time. And even if it were, I don't know that would really reduce the anxiety levels that are beginning to build. You're to the point now, those of you waiting to receive a call, that you're just about tired of waiting. Yet even after you learn where the Lord is sending you, that doesn't mean the anxieties are going to cease. In fact, they may actually increase. What will the people be like? What will they think of you? Will they be accepting of your ministry among them? And once you're there, well, the anxieties will not abate still then, as you'll learn the unique challenges that God has set before you in that place, and even as you discover that at times you're not as well liked as you hoped you would be. Jesus had a special word for those who live with such anxieties. "Come to me," he said. Whether you're anxious about your call or your health, the welfare of a child, or the precarious financial situation you might be in, it doesn't matter. Jesus says, "Come, come to me for rest." Perhaps you listen to the reports of the presidential primaries and you're driven to sheer despair, convinced that everyone has gone mad. Ultimately, it matters not, for your rest will be found only in Jesus, not in the princes of this world. Maybe you feel like you've lost control of your life, with loved ones making bad decisions, or you yourself trapped in a cascade of bad choices, sinful choices, choices that are eating away at your soul. For such a time as this, Jesus says, "Come to me, I will give you rest." Now, on what basis can this man from Nazareth make such a claim that we can find perfect rest in him? What qualifications does he bring with this invitation? Well, remember, this is the one who brought perfect calm to the raging storm and peace to the tormented lives of the demon-possessed. This is the one who brought wholeness to leprous skin and blind eyes and to a fevering mother-in-law. This is the one whose mouth flowed with the one thing needful, God's life-giving word, and from that mouth even flowed forth the call to Lazarus to come forth from the grave. This is the one who, despite the mockery, beatings, and even crucifixion, could speak a word of pardon upon his persecutors. Yes, this Jesus of Nazareth has earned the right to be your rest, having himself kept the perfect Sabbath rest in his own borrowed tomb, precisely so that you one day can leave your borrowed tomb. That proclamation of rest in Christ is at the heart of the message that the apostles, including Matthias, proclaimed. Very quickly, opposition to the message of Christ crucified began to intensify, with the disciples facing real hostility in the boldness of their witness. The Jewish leaders would not stand by idly as the apostles proclaimed Christ as the only way to life and salvation. And before long, the Roman authorities would begin to reveal their ferocity, the opposition that they would unleash. And so it goes even today. You will come to know the world's hatred for your Savior. If the world hates you for your witness to Christ, know that it first hated him. It cannot be any other way. And when the spotlight of hatred comes to shine upon you, be prepared for the doubt and fear that Satan will inevitably try to send your way. He is counting on the storms of life to engulf you, so that instead of a confident confessor of Christ, you will be reduced to a quivering questioner. Come to me, says your Savior. Let me be your rest. Lay your burdens on me, says the one who carried them to the cross. Lean on me, says the one who is your true rock and fortress. Stay close to me, says the one who stilled that stormy sea and also stills the storms of your life. I will give rest to your soul, says Jesus, even as he did a few moments ago in his holy word of absolution, and as he does every time you open your mouth to receive the bread of heaven. I'll make your burden easy and light, says your gentle Savior, as he sustains you daily by his life-giving word. I'll do it all, says the one who was sent by the Father in order to make him known. Jesus has something to say about that as well in our text. Though it's often overshadowed by those familiar words, come to me and I'll give you rest, Jesus says more. The truth is, there is rest in Jesus only because Jesus is in the Father. And as our Lord reminds us, no one comes to the Father except through him. And no one knows the Father except through the Son and anyone to whom the Son reveals him. Thanks be to God that the Lord of the church chooses to make known the Father, not just to a select few, but to all, to every nation. Through his teaching and preaching and healing in countless ways, Jesus went about the task of revealing the true nature of his Father, a Father who is in every respect holy and righteous. Yet by his innocent suffering and death, Jesus takes us even deeper into the true nature of the one who calls himself Father. Holy and righteous, you bet he is. But even more significant, he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and mercy. How else could one explain a father who would willingly offer up his only son for sinners such as so wretched as you and me? The good news that we need to latch on to this day is that the beloved Son has chosen to reveal his merciful Father to you. You don't deserve such mercy. Even less are you able to earn it. Oftentimes, we're tempted to think, I believe, that we can get a better deal elsewhere. And so we retreat into some imaginary world of our own making, where we assume the role of victim or set ourselves up as the pseudo-savior of the world. Whatever our chosen form of escape, it never satisfies. There's only one place where our self-delusion can be put to an end. Only one place where the heartaches and sorrows of this mortal life can find relief. And that is the one who invites you to find your rest in him. So come to Jesus. Amen.